Hey friends, it's Sherry, the Uncharted Entrepreneur's host, and I know I say this often, but today's episode and interview is definitely one of my favorites. And you may have heard me mention in the past that I had a mentor from my direct selling industry days who held a workshop I attended and truly inspired me to want to know more about Clifton Strengths and help me understand what it all meant for me and how it could help me succeed. Well, guess what? He's my guest today. And we had such a fabulous conversation. We found out not only do we both have a passion for Clifton Strengths, but we have a love of travel. We just both have loved to just have fun. We have the same taste in a kind of a unique cocktail. And we're also Clifton Strengths twins with many, many similar themes, like eerily similar. It was funny. But Sean Key, and the crowd just went wild. For those of you who know who he is, he's a leader in the direct sales industry with over 30 years of experience. He lives in Dallas, Texas, and enjoys traveling, and he's passionate about partnering with others in the pursuit of living a better life. So I want you to really listen closely because he drops a lot of great advice, quotes you will want to remember, and so much more. I hope you enjoy this show as much as we did recording it. Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you're ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I went from building a chimney cleaning business with my husband to ranking in the top 1% as a leader in network marketing to my true calling as a visionary strategist and coach. I'm passionate about helping others navigate the sea of business and life. If you're ready to leave the daily grind behind and discover the joy of entrepreneurship, let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. Welcome to the podcast, Sean. I am so excited about this. I know we've been trying to schedule this, and between your travels and my travels, we finally found time to sit down and have a conversation. So welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast.
Thank you so much, Sherry. I'm excited to be here. I can't wait to dig into this topic.
Yes, I know. You were a huge piece for me to get to this place, but I'm going to save that and talk a little bit more about that in a second. But kind of like to just start with some fun questions. And I know you love to travel, and so do I. We also were just talking about beaches. We love beaches. So I'm curious to see what comes up with this answer. But, you know, one of the reasons we become entrepreneurs and leaders is so that we can travel, right?
Yes.
And choose where we want to be. So if we were actually able to meet up in person and be sitting anywhere and sipping on whatever fun beverage you might enjoy, where would we be and what would we be sipping on?
Oh, wow. Wow. I would have to say we would be in Puerto Banús. Puerto Banús is a quaint little, beautiful town in Spain, Costa del Sol, Spain, just outside of Marbella. And there's this one place that I like to just go to and tuck away into a little corner and have a cocktail or two. And the cocktail we would be sipping on is a mezcal old fashioned.
Ooh.
Yes, mezcal old fashioned. I'm a big mezcal fan. I've been probably about 2 years now. It's kind of been my exclusive cocktail of choice. And I'm finding fun ways to bring it into my drinking rotation, if you will, with different mixes. And they actually have a mezcal experience down in Oaxaca, Mexico, that I just found out about. And so we're planning to go down there this fall and do the mezcal experience. So I'm excited about that.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like so much fun. Yeah, my son actually just got me hooked on mezcal.
Wow, great.
And it is, it's a very unique taste for sure.
I like it smoky.
Yeah, I love that. And I love an old fashioned. So I'll have to try that. And the place in Spain I've never heard of. I'm glad you said where that was, because I'm like, where the heck is that? But, bags will be packed. Let me know. We'll go to Spain.
Yes.
Sounds great. And on a more business, leadership, entrepreneur, or just personal development topic, and I know you're huge on that, What's a favorite book that you have? A book that maybe you recommend to a lot of people, or maybe one that you just read that you're like, oh my gosh, this was so good.
Well, my favorite book of all time is one that I send out often to people. It's called The Greatest Miracle in the World by Og Mandino. It's a very short book. I'm a short book reader. There's a famous chapter in there, chapter 9. It's a memo written from God to the reader. That chapter alone changed my life forever. And so it's a very special book, and I highly recommend it. It's probably less than $8. And it's called The Greatest Miracle in the World. And the author is Og Mandino.
I love that. I've read his The Greatest Sales. Is it The Greatest Salesman
yes.
in the World? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
I've seen that. I've never seen this one. So
I love it.
Heading over to Amazon as soon as we get off of this. Yeah, great. Thank you for that. So, Sean, you have been, as I started to say earlier, so you are, and some of my listeners, if you've been following, I mention often that I've had a mentor that was very instrumental in me getting really hooked on Clifton Strengths. And Sean is that mentor that I've mentioned before. He was in, you know, the same direct sales company that I was as part of the corporate staff, and just somebody I've always looked up to because he's so huge on personal development. And then you came and did a workshop for yes. our mutual friend, Carol List, and I went out to, and it was there that all the light bulbs went off when it came to Clifton Strengths. And, you know, today we both moved into different journeys, which is really fun. So I'd love to have you just kind of catch any of the listeners. Some may know who you are, some may not, and kind of catch listeners up on what are you doing today? And how maybe you kind of your journey to get there?
Okay, absolutely. So I'll start with kind of my childhood coming up to adulthood, if you don't mind. And I was born and raised in New Jersey, born in Elizabeth, New Jersey, grew up in Somerset, New Jersey. And I'm one of four children that my parents had. And just a normal, you know, middle-class lifestyle until I graduated high school. The summer I graduated high school, I was looking for a part-time job. And I went with two friends into a warehouse to get hired to work in that warehouse before I started college. And so that's how my journey, my professional journey began. I worked in that warehouse for that first summer. They hired me on full time. And I moved up the ladder there and became a supervisor by the time I was 21 years old. So from 18 to 21, I worked up to the supervisor position. At 23, I relocated with the company to its corporate headquarters in Dallas, Texas, and started in the sales group within that corporation. And again, started climbing up the career path. At the age of 32, I became the vice president of sales for that multi-billion-dollar international company. And, you know, life was on, I was on the corporate ladder, climbing. So I held various vice president's positions within that corporation until February of 2020. And then I started my own Herbalife business. I'm an independent distributor with Herbalife, and I own a nutrition club here in Dallas, Texas. And number two is in the process of happening as we speak. And so I'm building a business on the other side of the direct selling machine. And I love it. I love being my own boss. I love working with people and getting to know them and finding out what makes them amazing human beings and developing that. It's just been an experience that I could not put into words because it's exceeded my expectations being a business owner. So I love it. That's where I am now. Still in Dallas, but as you know, I travel constantly, which I love. And I just love different cultures, different cities, meeting people from different walks of life.
I love that. I love your story, Sean. I always have. And I love the new part of it. And I would imagine that now that you pretty much grew up in a direct sales environment on the corporate side, now to be in the field more or less,
yes,
running the business, you've really had that unique perspective where you can see both sides. So how has that, like in itself, helped you build a great business for yourself?
Well, I was fortunate when I worked on the corporate side for 30 years to be in contact with the independent sales force. There are some people who work in corporate environments and don't really touch the field at all. They don't have a relationship with them. They don't travel out to see the sales force in action. And that's been my entire journey, is working hand in hand with the independent sales force. So having that perspective on the corporate side and then bringing that into being on the field side now has really been a blessing. Obviously, I am super familiar with the blessings and the challenges that go along with being a business owner. The knowing how to navigate through tough spots has really been helpful for me and has created wins for me on this side of the tracks that have come harder maybe for other people who did not have that corporate experience or were not connected to the direct selling industry prior to starting their business. So I feel super fortunate and blessed to have that experience, have helped others become successful in this arena. And now to practice what I've preached for all those years is really, really fun. It's kind of like I was in school for 30 years, and now I actually get to do what I went to school for.
Right. All That's a great way to look at it. Yes, definitely. Definitely. It's like, do you ever have this, like, I do know what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's fun taking your own advice, you know? Right.
Yeah. Probably look back, it's like, see, they should have just listened to me more, all those women.
But I also feel the challenge that, you know, you don't get unless you actually do this business, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're not in this industry, you can talk about it all day long, but until you experience some of the real life challenges that people go through and have to overcome, and you know, and the feeling of wanting to give up on your dream and helping people navigate through those decisions, you know, until you do it, you really don't understand it. So I thought I understood it, but now I really understand it. Yeah. Having been through it.
What would you say on that note, what would you say was maybe one of the biggest challenges that you see network marketers have to work through?
You know, I think it can be different for each person because we're each wired differently. So something that comes easy to me may not come easy to another leader in the network marketing industry. So I don't know that it is one universal thing that's true for all people. Obviously, confidence is a big obstacle for a lot of people in this business, or just in life in general. I think there's a very small percentage of people who would consider themselves like what I call level 10 confident all the time. Like they've made a decision to be confident for the rest of their life and nothing and no one can deter them from that decision. There's a very small percentage of people who've done that. So to me, that's one of the major obstacles that we must overcome is the lack of self-confidence that the majority of the people have. They may have it for a moment, but they haven't committed their entire life to being confident. So you see glimpses of excellence and you see glimpses of a champion, and then it'll fade away when they decide to have less confidence for whatever reason. A failure, a disappointment, someone who they love has told them they don't believe in them or hasn't supported them. Whatever, someone in their team quits, a customer returns a product. It can be anything that triggers that in a person who hasn't decided to be self-confident for the rest of their life. So that's probably my biggest obstacle as a leader, is helping people see their worth and their value and know that it's not tied to where they live, how they grew up, who their parents are, how much money they have, what they've accomplished. But it's truly a decision that we make, you know, when we decide to be level 10 self-confident for the rest of our lives.
That's so true. And it's interesting you talk about the confidence, because I was just having some conversations with other leaders in different industries, but confidence was the one thing they all mentioned that they struggle with. And I think it's All I can think of is kind of like being that we're coming off of COVID here. You know, a lot of us have suffered the COVID 20, which we could probably go to you for help with that. But, you know, it's like gaining weight. It's so easy to gain. It's the opposite, I guess, of really weight, because it's so easy to gain weight and so hard to lose it.
Yes.
And confidence is almost the opposite. Is sometimes we work so hard to gain it, but yet one little thing we slide back down. It's kind of like all I'm picturing now is Chutes and Ladders. Remember the old kids game, Chutes and Ladders? Like, yes. It really is absolutely. Like that, right?
Yeah. Yes. But it's like, to me, it's like anything else that you want in your life forever. You put in the work, and it's a daily commitment of deciding. Today, I decide to be level 10 confident all day. And everything that you say and do reflects that decision. And you do that day in, day out until you don't have to think about it anymore, right? There are things that we do so naturally, we call them habits, I guess, that, you know, we don't even realize that we're doing it anymore because it's just who we are. It's not what we do anymore, it's who we are. Confidence works that same way. When you invest in being level 10 confident, there comes a point where you don't have to think about that investment anymore. It's who you are. Mm. And I'm so glad that I made that decision many years ago so that I could lead without thinking about myself in the process. So to me, true leadership is knowing who you are to the point that you don't have to think about who you are when you're helping others become the best version of themselves. And and Clifton Strengths obviously has helped in that for me as well, because it's another layer of knowing myself, right? The first layer of leadership is self. And the better you know yourself, the better you can move through those other layers of leadership, which includes others. All right, that's next. And so Clifton Strengths, like I heard you on a previous podcast, talk about all the different ways that you've invested in knowing yourself. I've done the same thing. I've done the Myers-Briggs, the DISC, the 5 love languages, the 5 basic needs. I've taken all those assessments. I've gained a complete understanding of who Sean Key is, so that is not a factor in how I stand in the gap for other people, right? When you aren't sure of who you are, you're always thinking about yourself when you're trying to help others. How you look, how you sound, what people think about you, you know, and I can lead without having to do that because of tools like the Clifton Strength. It's just been a blessing in my life, and I'm so glad that I was introduced to it and I've gone through the curriculum and I've been able to use what I've learned to help other people. Just today, I got a top 5 from a friend that I saw this weekend in Omaha and talked about it. And he took the test and got his results. So now I'm excited to dig deeper with him on what his top 5 have revealed. And obviously, top 10 is the best to know, but starting with the top 5. So
Right. That's so good. I remember you talking a lot about that before, just like investing in yourself. So then you can be, you do all this work and then you're set free to really just help others, which is what a true leader does. You know, that's really what we have to invest in ourselves to build our confidence, like you said, and then turn around. Now we can breathe that confidence, breathe that belief into other people with that. So with the Clifton Strengths, how were you introduced? I'm just curious now. How were you introduced to it? Where was your first introduction to Clifton Strengths? Do you remember?
Yes, I sure do. My first introduction was in the corporate environment. We were invited to take the test through our human resources department. All of the, I believe it was maybe manager level employees and above. So as a vice president, I was included in that group. I took the test and they set up an opportunity for us to meet as a group to go over the results. And because I had fallen in love with personal development many, many years ago and had already taken so many other assessments, this was one that clicked with me immediately because the foundation of what the Clifton Strengths tool does is so powerful. It is not a correction tool. It is a celebration of who you are when you're at your best. And I love that positive approach to the tool, to the strength that you can create from a talent that you already have. So it wasn't like I had to fix anything or do anything differently. It was helping me be the best version of myself. So when I attended that session to go over the results and I heard what it was all about, I wanted more. And so part of my team had an education component to it. And so I instantly had some people on the team become certified and go through the curriculum so that they could not only help the department, but also our independent sales force, help them. We could start teaching classes and incorporating it into the education that we were already providing. Mm-hmm. So it's been many years ago that happened. It's been a blessing, truly has been, professionally and personally.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as I shared before, it was, what's interesting is I took the assessment back in May 15, 2016. And I only know the exact date because I'm looking at my report and the date is on the report of when you first took the assessment. I honestly don't remember why I took it, who mentioned it to me, but I took the top five and then never did anything with it.
Right.
And then when you and your team started going around and talking more about it, I remember going to a big workshop kind of event kind of thing. And it was spoken. Somebody else on your team was talking about it. And I was like, I need to go back and upgrade. You do the full 34. And I did. And I still thought it was interesting and tapped into it a little bit. But it wasn't until I actually attended the workshop that, like I shared, that the light bulbs real and like, oh my gosh, this is such a powerful tool if you know what to do with the information.
Right, exactly. Which is why they have coaches, because they realize that on your own, you're going to, learn as much as you choose to. But there's a point where the language that you learn when you understand the education doesn't make total sense without someone guiding you through it. There's terminology that sounds familiar, but doesn't necessarily mean the same thing it means to you when you learn it in school or you learn it in life. And so it's helpful to have a coach, to have someone who has gone through the curriculum and is able to dig deeper and ask you the important questions to help you understand what it all means a little bit more, and you can actually start putting it to use. So they've done an excellent job of making coaches available, having additional education through their own podcasts and books that they've written. It's a complete, thorough education, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are your top five?
My top five. Number one, strategic. Number two, futuristic. Number three, competition. Number four, ideation. And number five is activator.
Okay. What's your full top 10? I knew we had a lot in common.
Yeah. Number six is maximizer. Number seven is adaptability. Number eight is relator. Number nine is command. And number 10 is self-assurance. And I found Relator really interesting because I was very much everybody's friend growing up. In fact, one of the senior polls that we had in high school, one of the areas that I was voted the winner of was everyone's friend. And so I collected people. That was important to me to be friends with everyone. And one of the things I love the most is connecting one friend to another friend who doesn't know each other. When my friends become friends, it's a really happy moment for me. And Relator, you often think of kind of cliquish, or, you don't have a lot of relationships necessarily, but you go deep with the ones that you do have. And so I thought that was interesting, but it does make sense because I happen to have a lot of relationships, but I go deep with just a few people.
Yeah, that's interesting because you would have thought that would have been a woo.
Right.
Yes. Up there.
And yes.
Three later.
Yes. I thought woo would be, it's 12, but I thought it might be higher. Okay. But for me, it is quality over quantity. I just happen to have a large quantity also.
Yeah. That's probably why you do love to go travel and visit little pockets of all your friends.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love seeing people where they're most comfortable. And I feel like I can adjust to where I am. And sometimes people can't do that as easily. And so I like going to them so they feel comfortable and I can feel comfortable being where they feel comfortable. Whereas sometimes when they come to me, I'm comfortable, but they may not be comfortable and not know how to become comfortable. And I, you know, so I'm trying to create as many wins for other people as I possibly can. So if that means jumping on a plane and going to see someone, I'm down to go do it.
That totally makes sense. And that's something that if you are a leader of a team, take note of that. That yes. you took away a barrier right there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, my definition of leadership is to facilitate the other person's victory. And the word facilitates a Spanish word, and the root is, or Latin word, the root is facil, F-A-C-I-L. And if you speak Spanish, facil means easy. So to facilitate means to make easy. So as a leader, my job is to make it easy for the other person to win. If I can knock down barriers so that they can win easily, I'm going to do that for the people who are ready for a leadership journey. I don't go see everybody because I don't believe there's right people and wrong people, good people and bad people. I believe there are ready people and people who are not ready. So if I have someone on my team who's ready, then I will knock down all those barriers that I can and make it easy for them to win. And you know, Clifton Strengths is a big part of that because part of their readiness is taking the assessment, having conversations about what it all means, and like being wanting to move forward based on where the talents already lie, where they're strongest. And when I have that kind of commitment from someone, then everything becomes possible at that point.
I love that. I love that. I'm just looking before we jump in, because I remember at the workshop, you and I had several in common. So I'm futuristic, maximizer, self-assurance, command, strategic, individualization, activator, relator, learner, and focus.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We had 7 out of 10 of you in there. That's pretty amazing.
And so remember, I think both of us are very low in executing.
That is for sure. That is for sure. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But we still get a lot done, right?
We get a lot done. But that's the beauty of Clifton Strengths is you find out based on the talents you do have, how to leverage them to make up for an area you may not be as strong in. So the way I execute is either I make it a competition because competition's number 3 for me, or I start immediately, my activator kicks in and I get started immediately. So those are the 2 ways that I execute best is if you were to give me an assignment, I would either get started immediately so I'm committed to it, or I would turn it into a competition for myself. I wanna complete this assignment first. I wanna do it best. I wanna be first and best. Like I would find a way to turn it into a competition for myself so that I would take the necessary action to get it done.
I love that. It's interesting because competition 17 for me.
Okay.
That's the one that I feel like was a mistake. My kids and my husband, where's competition? But I do the same game. Like, you know, and I call it a game. Like if yes. I have, especially if it's a task I don't really want to do.
Yes.
I have to play the beat the timer, or if there's something I want to do and I have to finish this first, and I got to, you know, it's almost that game. Or even when I'm driving, I got to beat GPS, you know?
Definitely. That thing loses constantly in my car.
So how do you, you know, we've talked a lot about how we use this ourselves and just to know ourselves better, but how have you used this with your team besides kind of using it as a, are they willing to invest in themselves?
Yeah.
First of all, once they are, how do you find this beneficial, especially for people in the direct sales and network marketing? How have you seen this be helpful? Maybe if you have a story, anything like that to share?
Sure. First of all of the people that have taken it, not one person has regretted the investment in this education. Not one person has wished they had not taken it. And everyone has loved what they've learned about themselves in the process. So it's been a home run across the board for my team and just both corporately as well as being a business owner. I have a team member in particular. He's high in empathy, and he had to learn how to turn that into a strength. He saw it as a strength until he started to realize that maybe he was not going as far as he could because he was being drawn into a lot of situations that required empathy. And he kind of left the mentor part of his leadership role and went into the rescuer portion of his role as a leader. So helping him understand to own those feelings that he has as someone who's high in empathy, but to also know when he's crossing that line of using it in an immature way versus a mature way. So having documents like the old balcony and basement document that Clifton and Gallup used to provide, I'm not sure if they're still doing that one anymore, but I still hold on to those old pieces of literature.
I love the balcony basement.
Isn't it the best? And so in pointing those things out and helping people realize when they are using those talents as strengths and when they might be, I like to say using them as weapons, but when they might be in the basement with that talent and recognizing it sooner. So he's totally been able to own it as a strength because of the awareness he now has that it is meant to be a powerful tool in his leadership role, but it's not meant to be used as a way to stay in an unhealthy discussion with someone who doesn't want to change his or her situation for the better. They just want to dump and they just want to, talk about the negative thing that's in their life. And so he's learned how to put boundaries up and move forward, being an empathetic leader as a strength and not as something that is holding him back from moving forward. So that's one example. There's so many. There's just so, so many. I remember being with two friends, and one of them has Includer in her top five, and the other one doesn't. Let's just put it that way. And we were talking about our talents, and she's like, yeah, Includer. And she starts talking about what it means to have Includer, and the other ones goes, oh, that explains it. You're always dragging people into our group. I always wonder, why does she keep bringing these people into our group? Oh my gosh, it drives me crazy. And so they were able to understand each other better, knowing that it's a talent that the one has to find that person who might be alone, find that person who's sitting at the table by herself and go over and introduce herself and bring her into the group. And so they learn how to manage their friendships even better because they now get why one enjoys that and why one is irritated by that. And so now there's dialogue around that and there are conversations and they know when it's okay to do that and when it's not the time to do that. So I've watched it just transform relationships, marriages, friendships, relationships with parents and kids. It's just been really a game changer in my world, my life, in all areas of my life. So, and for me personally, gosh, it made sense to me why I would have joys and why I would have frustrations when dealing with people. It also, from just kind of a health standpoint, having strategic, futuristic, and ideation activator in your top five competition, my brain doesn't shut off. I'm thinking about the future and figuring it out and needing to take action immediately, right? Like, it's like, and when? I mean, like, that's my life. Okay, so at night, it was hard for me to unwind because the ideation would be going at full blast. Right? No distractions. My brain is going, tons of ideas. My strategic meant that I needed to figure those ideas out. My futuristic, obviously, I'm thinking about ideas for the next phase of my journey. And then that sense of urgency. So all of it was working at the same time and causing me to be up to the wee hours every night. And then I wake up early, 5 o'clock every day. And so I was getting just 2 to 3 hours of sleep most nights. And I had to learn, I understood why. And then I had to put tools in place to stop that from continuing so I can get a good night's rest. And, and that's helped me in a lot of ways. It's helped me in a lot of ways to be able to get that needed rest so that I can be ready to go the next day. And without losing those ideas and losing the desire to implement those ideas. So there's a notepad by the bed. There's a pen by the bed. There's a tape recorder by the bed. You know, just in case I just want to talk it instead of write it. There are all these tools that I have to support the talent, because you don't want to dim the light of your talent. You just want to find tools that will, you know, embrace and support the talent and allow it to continue to grow without compromising other areas of your life.
Oh, I love what you just said. You don't want to dim the light of the talent.
No. It's the opposite of why you know the talent in the first place.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's one of the reasons why I love this. And the more, as you know, the more you get into it and the more you really start to understand that whole concept, because so many people, especially when they first get introduced to it, they even want to dim their own light.
Yes.
Like your empathy and things like that. They're like, I don't want to be that way. But it's like, but that's who you are. It's learning how to navigate it.
That's right. It's a talent. It's good if you use it correctly. Right. You know, it's a blessing. And so to naturally be able to feel what other people are going through is really awesome and amazing. But like anything else, it can be used incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And that's when you want to, you know, realize that that's happening and make the necessary adjustments.
Right. Yeah. And I don't understand the empathy friend, because that's 27 for me. But I'm totally on board with this, you know, like we said, the futuristic, maximizer, strategic. I have activators number 7, like the brain, it doesn't shut down.
Doesn't shut down. No.
And I do sleep well at night, but same thing. I have a pen and paper by my phone, by my bed. I have pen and paper in the bathroom. I have pen and paper in the kitchen. in the car, like everywhere. I'll use my notes on my car or my phone to record things. I mean, just to myself sometimes when I'm out for a walk. So that does, so you can capture the thoughts and then let them go and go back to whatever I need to sleep or whatever. But so understand that. So our time is coming to an end here. It just goes so fast. We may have to do another part two, Sean, on even just the language of strengths. And I always think that, because you're so right, it is a whole another language. As people are probably listening to this, it's like, what are they talking about? Empathy or futuristic? Like, that's where you just have to dive into the Clifton strengths and start to really understand the secret language. That's really not secret, right?
Exactly. A good example is discipline. Guess where discipline is for me? 34th, the absolute last on the list. And people will laugh when they hear me say that. And it's because our definition of discipline is not the Clifton Strengths definition of discipline. Their definition in Clifton Strengths has to do with loving routine and loving a certain, routine is kind of the best word to use there, but structure and order and routine. I don't love structure and order and routine. It is not how I function best. And so I can be super disciplined the way we learned it in like doing something over and over and over again, but like having a lot of rules and not having like flexibility is challenging for me. It is very challenging for me. So discipline as we learn it growing up and discipline as it's defined by Clifton Strengths are two different definitions. And that's why you have to know the language to really appreciate what they mean when we're talking about the talent of discipline versus the word discipline that we grew up knowing and understanding. So
absolutely. Yeah. Discipline's 31. We have a lot in common. 31 for me. Yeah. And what's funny is you go back to your scenario with your friends, understanding each other. And with my husband and I, it was very interesting. He finally broke down and took it. He was a hard sell on Clifton Strengths, probably the hardest sell I've ever had on Clifton Strengths.
Wow.
And when he finally took it, he's a true believer now, but like responsibility, adaptability is up there. But it was like all these, he loves structure. He loves rules, which fits his job.
Yeah.
But he's married to me, who's like, rules? What rules? We don't need any stinking rules.
Right.
What are rules?
Exactly. Rules are for people who can't control themselves.
Right, yeah. It makes for a very interesting marriage. Luckily, he's come to the fun side more often than
not. Oh, good. So. That's good. You know, with us having strategic, like we figure things out, like we're rarely confused. You know, we find a way, make a way kind of people, we connect the dots and we don't get why others don't get it. So like the need for rules for us sometimes seems like a waste because it's like, duh, you know.
Right. That's what I always tell us that I'm an if this, then that. I see that. Well, yeah, if I do this, then that's going to happen. So no, I'm not going to do that, but I don't need a rule to tell me that. So.
Exactly. Exactly. Isn't this fun?
Yeah. So, you know, it is one of those things I definitely recommend. First dive in, like you said, yourself personally,
yes.
Do it with your team, do it with anybody else you have a relationship with.
Yes. Yes, it is not a business tool. It's a life tool. Mm. And really, any relationship that's worth continuing, there should be a discussion around strengths. Everyone in that relationship should take the test, and there should be an ongoing dialogue about everyone's talent, talents, so that you can truly live in this joyous place that I think we were intended to live in all aspects of our lives. And so it's a game changer. I'm so glad I was introduced to it, and I'm looking forward to continuing to learn and grow myself first, and then obviously with the countless relationships that I'm going to encounter in my business and personal life. So excited.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you were introduced to it because, again, you are very instrumental in introducing the real strengths to me.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you helped me realize like, oh, that's went from that. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, that's spot on to like, oh, my gosh. So thank you for that. And we will definitely have to do a part two. But maybe we will meet in Spain someday or definitely go have some mezcal someplace, right?
Hey, I can come to New York. You say the word.
Hey.
You can meet in the city. There's a place. My favorite restaurant in New York City is Budokan. And we can meet at Budokan. They have a beautiful bar there that we can sip a cocktail at.
So. All right. I'm going to hold you to that, Sean.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Thank you, my friend, for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my goodness, friends. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast, again, as much as Sean and I did making it. Like, we just had so much fun. The time flew by, hence why this is a little longer than normal. And honestly, I think we could have talked for another hour for sure. But if you were inspired by today's show to learn more about the Clifton Strengths Assessment and what the heck it all means for you as a leader and how it can help you hit your next goals with ease and confidence, I'd love to invite you to join me for a virtual Strengths for Leaders workshop coming up in August. This workshop is very similar, except it's virtual instead of in person, that I attended with Sean that totally rocked my world. And it's for ambitious leaders like you who want to invest in your own personal development, knowing it's the next step to building that stronger team you desire. So I have a super special offer for the Uncharted Entrepreneurs listeners. Just click the link below for all the details when this is going to be happening. It's the first of its kind, and I would love to have you join me for this one. So check out the details and I'll be seeing you at the workshop. Hey friends, thanks as always for listening to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs podcast. I really do appreciate your time and for you being here. And a few quick things before you do go. Number one, if you haven't yet, can you leave a review if you find these shows valuable? Reviews really do matter to iTunes and to others so that they know this episode or this podcast is worth taking the time to listen to out of the millions of podcasts out there. And you never know, I might just read your review on a future episode. Number two, make sure to hit that subscribe button so that you can be one of the first to know when a new episode downloads. And three, if you've been enjoying this series on the Clifton Strengths 34, this is a huge one. Can you take a screenshot? Post that picture on your Instagram or Facebook account. Make sure you tag me in it and let me know why you loved that episode and what you're enjoying about the series. And of course, if you've done the Clifton Strengths Assessment, make sure to include your top five. And number four, and the last thing, if you take your assessment and you feel a little stuck and you're like, I don't even know what to do with this information right now, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm available on email and of course the DMs and Facebook and Instagram. And I would love to talk you through how to really tap into your talents so you can turn them into your superpowers and your strengths. Thanks again for listening to the show.